Es kann so sein, dass ich mich nicht mehr wenn ich mich noch darf, zadig wov. Sagt mir schon, was ich gerade habe, wieder in der Kain Gadol, the kneading, shaping, baking, all have been done in the Azara, and they override Shabbos. However, the grinding and the sifting do not override Shabbos. And we keep set a rule, any malacha that can be done before Shabbos does not override Shabbos. Any malacha that can be done, that can't be, cannot be done before Shabbos, does override Shabbos. Mish continues to go out to all other malachas. The kneading, the shaping, all have to be done in the klisharis inside the Azara, and they may not be done in the keli outside the Azara. The shtel lechem were 7 tvachim in length and 4 tvachim wide, and with their horns being 4 etzboyis in length. The lechem aponim were 10 tvachim in length, 5 tvachim wide, with their horns being 7 etzboyis in length. Rabbi Yehuda says the way to remember these dimensions is with the acronym of Zadad Yahaz. Ben Zayma says, the mission continues, the Pasuk says, V'nasato ala shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. The words lechem panim teach the breads have to have faces, like walls, Rashi explains. Yehuda says, the shulchan was 10 tvachim long and 5 tvachim wide. The lechem panim was also 10 tvachim long and 5 tvachim wide. The length of the bread would be put across the width of the shulchan, and he would bend up 2.5 tvachim on each side of the bread, leaving a base of 5 tvachim, which would completely fill the width of the shulchan. Rabbi Meir says the shulchan was 12 tvachim long and 6 tvachim wide. The lechem aponim were 10 tvachim long and 5 tvachim wide. The length of the bread would be put across the width of the shulchan, and he would bend up 2 tvachim on each side of the bread, leaving a base of 6 tvachim. He would then leave two tvachim of space between the breads on the shulchan that would allow for circulation of air. Abishol says they would put on the spoons of levaina in those 2 tvachim of empty space between the breads. They said to him, the Pasuk says that the Levina was put al hamarechas, which means that the Levina was put on the bread, not on the shulchan, next to the bread. He said to them, the Pasuk regarding Shevet Menashe says, the olav mate Menashe, which means that they were next to Shevet Ephraim, not on them. The Pasuk regarding the Levina can be explained in the same way. Misha continues, there were 4 supports made of gold with things like sticking out on the upper part of them, with which the Kahanim would support the breads, 2 supports for one arrangement and 2 supports for the other arrangement. There were 28 rods that were like hollow reeds open in half, 14 used for one arrangement, 14 for the other. The arranging of the rods and the removal of the rods do not override Shabbos. Rather, the Kohen would go into the Heichal on Friday and would remove the rods, placing them along the length of the Shulchan so that he would not have to remove them on Shabbos. All the Kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash were placed so that their length followed the length of the Beis HaMikdash. Zach the Gemara, they asked Rebbe, how do we know that with regard to all other menachas, the kneading and the shaving have to be done in the klisharis inside the Azara? He said, the Pasuk says that the Malach showed Yechezkel the place that the Chatas, Ashram, and Mincha are to be made. This creates a comparison which teaches that just like a Chatas and Ashram have to be cooked in a keli, so too a Mincha must be kneaded and shaped in a keli. Mishnah said, Ashulchan, Orkoi Asara. Rechon said, according to the view at the sides of the loaves were bent up 2.5 tvachim, it comes out that the Shulchan made things Kaidish up to a height of 15 tvachim above the Shulchan. According to the view that the sides were bent up only 2 tvachim, it comes out that they made Kodesh up to a height of 12 tvachim. Fact, but there were also the rods, which added the height beyond that of the loaves alone. Mar says the rods were sunken into the loaves and didn't take up any extra space. Fact, but the whole point of the rods is to make space for air between the breads. If they were sunken, there's no space. It doesn't make sense. Mar says the Kohen raised them up a drop. So Fact, no. So if so, that extra amount of space above the shulch, it is that creates extra space above the shulch, and that it makes Kodesh. The shulch makes Kodesh. Mar says, yeah, but since it's less than a tefach, Rabbi Yechina did not count that. Fact number, but there are the spoons of levaina that are on the breads that also add height. And more, they were placed inside the breads and didn't need height beyond what was provided by the breads. Fact number, what about the horns of the breads that added height? More says they were folded into the breads and therefore they did not need any additional height. Fact number, what about the mascaras, which was the frame around the end of the shulchan that was a tefach high and therefore added height? Fact number, Yechon follows the view that the mascaras was made below the top of the shulchan and therefore did not add height on top of the shulchan. Even according to the view that it was above the shulchan's top, it was placed as a frame outside of the top, not on it, and therefore it did not add any height to it. The breads didn't sit on it, but instead they were sort of enclosed by it, as we find the Rabbi Yossi Taka says in a Braisa. Mark continued Rabbi Yochanan and said, according to the view that the miscarriage was below the top of the shulchan, we can learn that a flat piece of wood with no receptacle can become tameh because the top of the shulchan had no receptacle and yet it could become tameh. According to the view that the miscarriage was above the top of the shulchan, which therefore created a receptacle type of area, we would still have the question whether a flat piece of wood could become tameh. Furthermore, this implies that the shulchan could become tameh. Why is that so? It's a piece of wood that's meant to stay permanently in place, and as such, the piece of wood is not mekabel tumah. Furthermore, the shulchan was moved from its place. Like Rosh Lakish says, that it was brought out to the Yidden on Yom Tov to show how beloved they are to Hashem, like Rabbi Shimon Levi says, that the bread remained warm from when they placed it on the shulchan until it was taken off, which was a week later. talking about the Shulchan would become tummy even if it was permanently in place, never to be moved because it was plated with a metal, with gold. You can't say that this is only true where the plating is nailed down to the wood, because we have learned that the plating gives the status of a... It gives it the status of a metal keli, even if the plating is not permanently affixed to the wood with nails or the like. Also, even though Rish Lakish says that it's only true for ordinary wood plated with metal, but not for expensive wood, which the Shulchan was made of expensive wood, Rabbi Yochanan has said that it's true even for expensive wood covered with metal. And for the Gemara, a pasuk refers to the Shulchan as wood. Therefore, it retains the status as a wooden keli, which only becomes tummy if it's meant to be moved when full. Mara says the pasuk just referenced that we just said also refers to the Shulchan as a mizbeach, and then it refers to it as a table. Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both explain this teaches that when the Beis HaMikdash stood, the mizbeach provided kapara. Now, after the Churban, a person's table provides kapara, meaning by inviting guests to join his meal, that brings them a kapara.